Blog Talk Radio.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead.
Indeed, indeed, let us stand up for Jesus. Welcome, welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast, fresh from our prayer meeting. What a wonderful prayer meeting we had last night, starting with a half hour of Prayer Institute teaching, followed with an hour of prayer. We had, on an average last night, we can almost say with great certainty that we had about 50 people on the line last night. And now, of course, all 50 did not speak, all 50 did not pray, but all 50 were united in one accord, seeking the Lord, seeking his strength, seeking his face evermore. We had a great, great time of fellowship, a great time of just calling on the name of the Lord and asking God to have mercy. Mercy, because that's what it takes. And the Bible says his mercies are renewed every morning. Every new day, God just delivers more mercy. There's mercy available. And all we have to do is ask of it from the Lord. Say, Lord, take your mercy and apply it to this situation. And Lord, take your mercy and apply it to that situation. And take your mercy and apply it to this. You know, we prayed for so many different things. And to all those things, we were applying God's mercy and love. He says that his house is to be called the house of prayer, and that he would always be attentive to see who and what the people were praying for when they prayed. So let us continue to invite others to the prayer service. Next week, I'm hoping to have lots more people on the line. Why? Well, because God is going to turn things around when he sees his people humbling themselves. Humbling. And that's what we want to do. We want to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. For if we do so, he will exalt us. He will give us the victory in due season. Today we continue our study with Micah chapter 7, verse 8. The wonderful text reads, "Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me." Heavenly Father, today is the third day that we are spending in this study, and we pray, Lord, bring it into focus. If it hasn't come into focus yet, Lord, allow us to see it with our mind's eye, what the text is saying. Bless us by means of studying it. Edify us. Give us hope. Give us a desire, Lord, to seek you, even when we stray, even when we find ourselves at a distance from you, even when we find that some way, somehow, we've just departed from the Lord. Have mercy, O God. Have mercy upon your children. Have mercy upon your pastors. Have mercy upon your church leaders. Have mercy upon the saints. Have mercy upon the unsaved. Have mercy upon the elderly who live alone. Have mercy upon those in the hospital or nursing homes. Have mercy, O God. And as you give us another day of life, give us another day of fellowship. This we ask, this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Monday, we gave you the four pillars of prophetic themes. We won't go over those today. We covered those yesterday. There are four pillars in Old Testament prophecy. Yesterday we looked at how our enemies rejoice. The text says, "Rejoice not against me, O my enemy." The word rejoice, as you know, it means to merrymake. It means to be joyful. It means to be glad. It even means to be happy and to gloat in some respect. So here the prophet speaking on behalf of the backslidden nation of Israel, a nation that has been chastised by God. God has sent judgment. The church, the ancient people of God, find themselves sitting in judgment. And there's a cry from this ancient people. And the cry is, "Rejoice not against me, O my enemies." We saw yesterday how the Philistines rejoiced when they were able to subdue Samson and take out his eyes, and they were able to neutralize him and turn him into a beast of burden. The once famed judge of Israel fell from grace because he would not stop visiting Philistine women, and they were his demise. The Bible says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." And that's all Samson was doing. All Samson was doing was yoking himself to godless women, women who knew not the Lord, women who loved not the Lord, women who worked contrary to the will of God. They were harlots. And Samson gave himself to them, defiled his holy calling. The Spirit of God had departed. And when Delilah called the Philistines to fall upon him, they did, and Samson knew not that the Spirit of God had departed. And so they were able to subdue him, arrest him, bind him, take out his eyes, and then again confine him to a grinding mill where he worked for them as they mocked him and laughed at him as they gloated over his fall and demise. We also gave a biblical example as to also how the Philistines rejoiced over the death of King Saul and his famed son, Jonathan. David, in writing an ode dedicated to Saul and Jonathan, said, "Tell it not in Ascalon, tell it not in Gaza, let not the daughters of the uncircumcised Philistines rejoice over the fall, over the death, over the calamity that has befallen Saul and Jonathan." So we do know that in the Old Testament, when one side conquered another, the conquerors rejoiced, and the defeated lamented. And so here, Israel prophetically is saying, "Do not rejoice against me, O my enemies." For us today, the enemy is not the unsaved. No, they are our mission field. The unsaved are not our enemies. They are our mission field. We have but one enemy. It's called the devil and his angels. The Apostle Paul put it this way, just in case if you thought that the unsaved were your enemies, Paul corrects us by saying, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood." Your enemies are not your fellow man in a fallen state. No, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So if there's anyone who's rejoicing over our demise, it is crafty, sinister Satan. Today I want to look at the phrase, "when I fall." When we hear the term fall, we're reminded of the fall of Adam and Eve, how God had created them and had elevated them by creation, and how Adam and Eve were the crowning glory of God's creation. But soon afterwards, a crafty serpent entered into the garden, began to speak to Eve, caused her to go against the revealed will of God, partook of the fruit of the tree, gave unto her husband, and there we have the fall of Adam and Eve, and consequently the fall of the human race. This word fall in Hebrew actually means what it means in English, to fall. One falls flat on one's face. Now during the winter time and during seasons where you have rain during the day and then the temperature drops at night, and when you wake up in the morning you have all of the slippery ice, people tend to fall on their backsides, fall on their front sides, they just fall. We know what a fall is. A fall means you come crashing down. Your body comes crashing down. Now, this word fall, napal, has various meanings in the Old Testament. For example, one can fall into the hands of one's enemies. Judges chapter 15, let's look at Samson again. Judges chapter 15, here's an example of the word napal being used. Judges 15, I want to read at verse number 12. Judges 15, 12. "And the children of Israel said unto Samson, We have come down to bind thee, that we may deliver you into the hands of the Philistines. And Samson said unto his own people, Swear unto me that you will not fall upon me yourselves." In other words, that you will not jump me, that you will not hurt me yourselves. I'm going to allow myself to be bound by you. I will let you deliver me into the hands of the Philistines. But swear to me that when you put the cuffs on, when you bind my arms behind my back, make sure you yourselves, my people, the people of God, do not fall upon me, do me no harm. Then in verse number 10 of the same chapter, Judges chapter 15, verse 18, after slaughtering 1,000 Philistines, Samson was very thirsty, and it says, and he was sore athirst. And Samson called on the Lord and said, thou hast given me this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant. And now shall I die for thirst and fall, there you have that word again, Nepal, and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. Will I now, God, after slaughtering 1,000 Philistines, will I die of thirst? Will I be so incapacitated that the Philistines, another battalion of Philistines, will fall upon me and do me harm? So here this word fall actually means to fall, to have someone fall on you. And listen, when you fall, one, you can be embarrassed. I fell yesterday walking the dogs. I was walking the dogs. It was Benjamin. Benjamin is the bigger one of the two. And he was just pulling like there was no, you know, like he was going somewhere. And Benjamin wasn't going anywhere. He just likes to pull. And so he pulled. And in the backside of the house, there's a slippery part. And I slipped and fell on my bump. And a good thing was that Sister Linda wasn't looking, because she would have had a good laugh. If the kids were looking, they would have had a good laugh. But I was embarrassed. I fell. And that's what happens when you fall. You're high up, and then before you know it, without any warning, you're on your bump, right? You're on the ground. And so that's what it means to fall. It also means to fall from grace. God has elevated the believer. God has called the believer to live at such a high level. And then when you play with sin, like Samson did with the Philistine harlots, when you engage in that kind of lifestyle, you have fallen from your high calling in Christ Jesus. It's a fall. It's a fall. So David, when writing about the Saul and Jonathan, he laments their fall. Let me give you two scriptures to kind of highlight this a little bit more. Let's go to First Samuel chapter 4. In 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 10. 1 Samuel 4:10, it says, and the Philistines fought against Israel, and Israel, the people of God, were smitten, and the Israelites fled every man into his tent, and there was a very great slaughter that day. For there fell, there you have that word Nepal again, for there fell of Israel in that day 30,000 footmen. So the Israelites, 30,000 of them, fell to the ground in battle and never recovered. They lost their lives. In 2 Samuel, let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 1, it says here in verse 17, and David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan, his son. David lamented. Why? Because Saul and Jonathan fell in battle. In verse 27, he ends his song, his ode, his lamentation, by ending it this way. And notice the phraseology. How are the mighty fallen? There you have that word, Nepal. How are the mighty fallen? Who is he referring to? Well, he's referring mainly to King Saul and to Prince Jonathan. They died in battle. They fell to the ground, never to arise again. So, when we fall into sin, and let me just say this, there are two perspectives of this in the New Testament. Some people fall into sin, are so beguiled by the enemy of our souls and by his devilish whispers that they find themselves ensnared without realizing that Satan was leading them astray. Some people fall. The enemy is very cunning. Satan is very wise, devilish wise, if you will. He can run circles around you and me at any given time. And this is why we have fallen into sin, because the devil is just gifted in devilish beguiling. He's good at what he does. Now, other people just don't fall. Others jump into sin. Other people know that they're going to sin, and they say, you know what, I don't care anyway. Some people just jump into sin like they're jumping into a pool. They know exactly, they're not tricked. They've not been beguiled. They have not been bamboozled. They have not been conned. They jump into sin with eyes wide open. So here, the nation of Israel says to its enemies, do not rejoice against me, O my enemy, when I fall. When I find myself down and out, and not just down and out, but down and out spiritually. To be down and out spiritually is to be what? Is to have departed from the Lord, or to have the Lord depart from us. Remember that when Samson was sleeping in the lap of Delilah, and she told him to get up, and he thought that he was going to be able to do what he used to do in the past, which was use his divine might, the might given to him by God, to beat up on his enemies, he did not realize at that moment in time that he had played with sin so much that God had been grieved and that God had departed from him. And he was not able to do that day what he had done prior. And so many saints, many, many, many brothers and sisters are fallen. I like that old commercial, I've fallen and I can't get up. Why is it that you can't get up? Because the Lord has departed from you for a season. It's a season of sadness. It's not a moment for us to be rejoicing when someone falls. On the contrary, we should be mourning. In fact, let me give you a scripture. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse 1, Paul says to the Corinthian church, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. Someone is living in illicit sin. For such fornication is not even so much named among the Gentiles, that one should be living in an incestuous relationship with his father's wife. And he says in verse 2, some of you are puffed up. Some of you are proud over this. Some of you are rejoicing over this. But rather, you should be mourning. You see, you shouldn't be gloating in your sin. You shouldn't be happy over your sin. No, why? Because you've departed from God. Listen, sin, jumping into sin, jumping into bed with sin, getting involved in sin ought to bring us to a place of mourning. Now, of course, some people are chucking it up. Some people are, no doubt Samson was having the life, he thought he was having the life of his time. He thought he was, listen, Samson thought he was just enjoying his youth, not knowing how far he had fallen. The Corinthian church, they were laughing. They were just enjoying the soap opera news of this brother who was living with his stepmother. They thought it was funny. And Paul says, sin is sin. Sin ought to bring us to a state of mourning because one is about to die. One is on his spiritual deathbed. One is racing headlong for the lake of fire. We ought to be what? Mourning. So here in Micah 7:8, rejoice not, O Satan, when I fall. I want to conclude with this scripture verse. In Luke 22, this is while the Lord's Supper, the first Lord's Supper ever, was going on. Jesus says this to Simon Peter in Luke 22:31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you. That word desire is one of the words for prayer. It's a Greek word that describes, you know, in Greek, there are different words used for us praying to God to get things from God. Well, Jesus says, hey, Satan just showed up, and he has asked to have you. Simon, you are my lead disciple, and on this night in which I shall be betrayed, Satan has come to me and asked permission that he may have you, that he may cut you down as wheat. It says right here, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. What happens when you sift a blade of wheat? What happens? It falls to the ground. Satan wants to cause your fall, Simon Peter. But I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, when you are turned around from your current foolishness, strengthen the brethren. So yes, Satan rejoices when a believer falls into sin. Satan rejoices when he can get a believer to jump into sin and revel in his sin and enjoy his sin like Samson. Why? Because that believer doesn't realize they've fallen from grace. It's a sad day. So no rejoicing should take place when a brother or sister departs from the Lord. So, we'll be back tomorrow, Thursday, to talk about the phrase, I shall arise. And the reason why we can arise is because, again, God's mercies are renewed every morning. Oh, blessed be the name of our Lord, who doesn't allow us to stay down very long. You don't have to stay down very long. Oh, the moment you turn to God, you can arise. Well, that's tomorrow. That's tomorrow. Let's continue to pray for these churches that are fallen. Let's continue to pray for congregations that have departed from the Lord. Let us continue to pray for pastors who no longer ride high with God, but who have become worldly, carnal, fleshly. Let's pray for revival. Let's pray for a rising of the church. I shall arise. We shall arise. The people of God across the world shall arise. The church has been fallen too long. It's time for revival. Let us pray for that. Until tomorrow, may God bless you all. Remember, I'm only a phone call away. Pastor's waiting for you to call on him. He wants to serve you. Give me something to do for you. I look forward to it. God bless you. I'll be praying for you and your family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Holy Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty.
Holy.